to the Exalt Podcast. My name is Christopher Chagnon.
And I'm Sophia Hagolani-Alba. Today, we are really excited to be joined by one of our colleagues from University of Helsinki. Surprise, this colleague is not from Global Development Studies, but is near and dear to Global Development Studies because we've done a lot of really awesome co-creative work, including collaborating over the World Ecology Research Network Conference in 2018, the Global Extractivisms and Alternatives Initiative, EXALT, Digital Symposium and Conference in 2020 and 2021, respectively. So without further ado, I am very pleased to introduce my colleague, Jane Salavara.
Hello, thanks for having me. It's very exciting.
Welcome, Jane. It's great to have you here. So why don't you tell us a bit about who you are and what kind of work you've been doing?
Jane Salavara. I'm a PhD student at the University of Helsinki at DENVI, which is the interdisciplinary doctoral school of environmental sciences. Although I never fully felt that's where I belong, but I guess that's the closest approximate of what I'm doing since back in the day. And sort of like still, the University of Helsinki doesn't really have a sustainability specific doctoral program. We have Helsus, but that's not a doctoral school. So that's kind of where I ended up. And I always thought that my PhD research is highly interdisciplinary. I know we all keep using that word, but it is sort of like it's since my research is on the discipline of sustainability science and how that on the education of it, specifically looking at the math or the sustainability impact of that education. So it's sort of like it's part the philosophy of science, looking at the discipline, how it that has emerged in university, and then part educational, but I've never looked into the pedagogy of it because that's sort of like not my thing. It's more of the content of the education and then looking at what do we get out of that education. So sort of like then it's social studies in that sense, and also methodologically it's more social science than the classical environmental science. But that's where I am. And I've thankfully, on top of where I am, I've gotten my supervisors are people who are interdisciplinary and always understood what I'm trying to achieve with it. And sort of like, yeah, I believe that's that rare anymore. But I always, yeah, even though it's interdisciplinary environmental sciences, I always kind of in my head thought that that's what it means, sustainability. Of course, it is that, but it's not exclusively that. So yeah, that's, and I've done other stuff as well, but that's basically I think the context of why I'm here right now.
So sustainability, like that's a word that gets batted around all the time. I mean, like everything, measures for sustainability and programs for sustainability, and institutes for sustainability. And why did you get interested in sustainability as kind of a, could we call it a construct? Or yeah. Is that totally off base?
No, I think it is a construct. And sort of like, before doing my master's in interdisciplinary sustainability, I did a bachelor's in design. And I thought that sort of like, my idea of design was that design is the way to change the world. And back in my design school, thankfully, I had an art teacher who made me, or led me into reading Viktor Papanek's book, Green Imperative, I think it's called. That book is highly critical on not just, I would say, not only on the field of design, but sort of like the societal intent as a whole. And I would say that that's super critical towards capitalism. That's critical towards a lot of different things and sort of in the, because it's written, I think, late 60s, I guess. And sort of like critical towards a lot of things that I do think that they were worried about back then, in a way. And sort of like that made me think of words such as sort of like what's the moral of a designer and what's the ethics of of the whole field and what's the societal responsibility. And I don't think I even heard the word sustainability sort of before. And then after realizing that design isn't the field that I sort of like probably being naive thought it was, and then I was pretty ready to just quit everything and go and be a chef or a cook or something. And then I happened to read a call or the instructions how to apply to Aalto University, who was just kicking off a new program on interdisciplinary sustainability. And as I read that their conceptualization of sustainability and how they thought that that's going to be taught in that program, I felt that, yeah, that was almost like a page out of my bachelor's dissertation. And that sort of like that got me into it. But it, of course, like back then, I didn't know what it really was. And I would say that even, I don't think I've gone a day or maybe like even half a day without using the word sustainability the past 10 years, 12 years. So like I've been in it and I don't think I'm not still kind of sure what it is about. I mean, when I say that, I mean what it is about to me, because I do think that we all, sustainability is it's everything. I believe that especially if you want to work with it, you orient towards finding a niche in it to you or finding a thing that makes sense to you to work with. And I think that that's something that has been developing ever since and is still hopefully developing.
No, absolutely. And I mean, it makes total sense that as one researches, as one thinks, as one sees their place in relation to a topic like these positionalities change. And I think it's very relatable in that. But also, I'm curious with this because, again, as Sophia said, sustainability now has become such a huge buzzword, even. It's everywhere. It's in so many different places, so many programs. It's on the lips of politicians. But you don't hear people talking about how it's being taught. It's usually just sustainability, good thing. So how did you get into looking at the education of it? Because I find that's a really interesting aspect that I haven't really heard anyone else talking about before.
Yeah, that was that's the biggest, I think, realization that led me there was that I did graduate from that master's program on interdisciplinary sustainability. And I'm not saying that that was wrong, but sort of like we were led to believe that we are specifically the kind of professionals that are needed, that sustainability is just about to happen. And we are the people that we were highly requested, like we were there for a reason. And then a bunch of us graduated, even though I was in the first batch who were let into that program. I surely wasn't the first one to graduate. I took 5 years to do a 2 years master, but I did work in between. Well, anyways, and I really thought that, yeah, we're the future and this is what we are now. We're going to go into the world and we're going to change the world and we're going to make everything sustainable. And then immediately after the graduation, you kind of realize that, or I realized that this surely didn't happen to everyone. But to me, it was the realization of like, there isn't this sort of like whatever I am isn't compatible with whatever is requested. Or I don't know how to put it, but sort of like, and that's a conversation that even I had back in the day with my the leaders of our program was that because they were telling me that, come on, graduate already. And I said that there's no pull. There's only push. You're pushing me to graduate, but there's no pull from the society at large. No one is really hiring a sustainability generalist or a sustainability philosopher or whatever. And I have later on understood that that's my fault of thinking that sustainability is the thing that we're doing and not, we're not sort of like, I took sustainability as the higher priority of what we are trying to achieve. And then later on, I understood that, no, you're still supposed to think of the different societal functions and then marry sustainability into it. So if you are a designer, then you're a designer still, but you understand something of sustainability. You can't really, it's hard to be a sustainability professional and then understand something about design. Well, anyways, this was the realization that sort of like, I'm now out in the cold world and no one's really like knocking on my door and asking me to go and work with them. And then I started to think that, yeah, well, why are we then? Because I do know that there's a bunch of this program from Aalto is definitely not a rarity anymore. There's more and more coming up and it's a global phenomena to have master's and bachelor's and PhD programs in sustainability specifically. And then I started to think that, yeah, as we're educating all these, as we're sort of like producing these professionals, then what are we getting out of them? And where's the gap? Like, why aren't we really utilizing them? And if we're producing the kind of professionals that can't be utilized, then is it, where's the fault? Where's the gap? Like, should we then change the education or what needs to happen? And sort of like, if you think of that then are the professionals like, are we just here 10 years too early or are we here 10 years too late? And like these kind of questions then took me to ask these questions in form of a PhD research.
But I mean, of course, this is one of those questions that's a simple question with a very wide answer, but like asking these questions, where has it taken you? Like, what are we doing wrong? Because I definitely agree. As Christopher said, sustainability is, you know, it's a buzzword. It's everywhere. Everything is sustainable and it's everything. And it's kind of turned into nothing at the same time. Like it's because it's everything. It also is meaningless. It's I feel like at least that the term sustainability has lost its teeth as an actual meaningful path to change. So what have you found in your doctorate? Like, what is the gap? What should we be doing? What does sustainability actually mean in practice?
Yeah, that's a super, like you said, it's a big question. I mean, it's worth at least my PhD. It's probably worth much work, more work as well. But sort of, I do think that it's everything and it's nothing, like you said, and it's sort of like, I guess it's what you expect it to be. Like sustainability can be a very small deed or it can be one's life work and everything in between, I guess. But I do feel that no matter if it's a big deed or a small deed, you should still be somewhat true to the intent of it. And I guess that's where the bigger problem is, that the intent itself or the aim or the goal of it might have lost or got diluted or got translated maybe on the way. And that could be one part of the problem. I'm sure that there's different problems in it because there's epistemological problems, there's ontological problems, like, well, I should be worried about something that doesn't really, you could think that it doesn't involve me, I'd be dead in 40 years, so why do I care? And then there's practical problems, like, how do I actually, like, make something concrete out of it? You can easily fluctuate between it being so practical and so simple to execute that it's almost meaningless, and you can make it such a complex task for yourself that it's impossible to execute. And like, there's all kinds of issues like this. And I do think that sort of like sustainability alone isn't in that position of meaning different things to different people. I'm sure that happens to a lot of different concepts. And me looking from this position, it's like, I suffer from it because that's sort of like, I have to be here to, you know, keep the game through. Because that's my topic, and that has been sort of like, that's where I've evolved my life in such big part of it, the past decade or even more.
This is like, again, probably a kind of a big question in terms of public perception, or say like public political perception of sustainability. How do you see that in comparison to practice? Like, is the idea that's being sold as the quote unquote important sustainability actually matching what sustainability, in your opinion, should be to actually reach the goals of, you know, the planet not dying, hopefully, and so on?
Yeah, if that's the measurement, then probably not as it is at the moment. But it's sort of like, yeah, when it comes to education, that's, of course, I have to admit that I guess as well as sustainability is sort of like, we can think of it in every possible context as it the same thing happens in education. Like, you can study sustainability in law, you can study sustainability in car mechanics, you can study sustainability in being a barber. So like, there's so many things that I'm completely oblivious of, because what I've looked at is sustainability-oriented programs, meaning that's programs that specifically conceptualize them as master's programs who take sustainability as a freestanding discipline, more or less. Or you could say that sustainability science programs. But then again, like, that automatically sounds that it's something like basic science, and you can have that in applied science and so on and so on. So sort of like what's educated there, I'm not sure of how well it matches of the practice or the policy, if you think of these as some sort of a odd helix. But sort of, you know, it's practiced now is, I think that it all boils down to, again, the intent of it, that you can surely have all kinds of practices and try to marry sustainability to them and sort of say that, you know, we have this economic development scheme or strategy and sustainability is deeply in the core of it, but it doesn't mean that it's done for sustainability. It's done still for the economic development of it, and sustainability sort of like might be an assessment criteria or even a partial goal, but it's not the intent of it. It's not done to produce sustainability necessarily. And that's, and I think that's where the sort of like finding a practical or concrete example of a way you can truly practice all the three dimensions of sustainability. So you're benefiting the economic, the environmental, and the social cultural dimensions of whatever you're trying to develop. Those are super hard to find, especially if you want to find them sort of like equal and without a hierarchy. That shouldn't, as they say, that like perfect shouldn't come in the way of practical, or however you want to. I don't know if that's actually a proverb in English, but that's what we say in Finnish. And sort of like meaning that you shouldn't think that sustainability is unpracticable because it's so complex that it's almost impossible to practice. And of course, then it becomes a conversation of how big of a compromise are you willing to make to have it practical, to execute something that you could still kind of call sustainable or sustainability. And I do think that that's sort of like, that's where a big, big problem that I see, if I want to be critical, of course, like there's always that I could think like, look at the world and say that, well, sustainability is already happening, like everyone's talking about it, and we're doing this and this and this, yet I could still look at the world and say that surely we aren't sustainable yet. So sort of like, even though we talk a bunch about it, I see little signs that we're really there, or sort of like even the critical me would say that I don't even see any signs that we're ever going to get there, because the intent is still elsewhere. And sort of like that's also a problem of when we're trying to find practical examples of sustainability, is that I don't think we've ever seen any yet. Like our society, and it's not just now, I think our society, back to however almost long you want to go, you could say that economic development has surely been the intent in a way. And sustainability, not to say that an opposite of economic development, but at least it is how the economy has developed up until now, somewhat. So sort of like to see that what are the practical examples within a society where sustainability is the intent, like who knows what it would even be, and what kind of education would fit that kind of society. And that's why I often say that sort of like, I'm at best the version 0.1, because I was taught by your university where none of my teachers really had an interdisciplinary education, yet in sustainability. That's such a new concept. And I barely got in my master's in it, and it was just starting, and now I'm doing my PhD. So if I ever get to be a teacher, then like that's the next version of it. And like version after version, I hope that we're gonna get better and find more practical examples, and also like dig deeper into key points of where we should implement sustainability. It'll take time, but at least make that tip and see that it's coming. Like maybe even to reach even that will need a pretty much a new set of values and societal intent. I don't know, maybe.
Absolutely. I think that you said some really like important stuff, and I want to zoom in on a little bit of it. Is I have like two questions that are obviously both related to sustainability, but not actually that related to each other. But there's the question of when you were talking about kind of the intent, like what would sustainability actually look like? Because like, what does that mean? Are we trying to be sustainable to when or sustainable to what? Like, what would this kind of imaginary of sustainability actually be? Because I certainly don't think that it would be in line with anything the westernized world has been doing in like the long durée of the 16th century, because that's just been a kind of a tailspin like into this, you know, real uptake and integration of the extractivist logic, you know, with capital accumulation kind of as the obsession of the powerful. So sustainability to what? And then the other question is related again to kind of this idea of, you know, version 0.1. So when is the best time to like kind of integrate this into the education, and like how do we actually do that? Because I really appreciate the observation that, you know, it can be like sustainability could be something so simple, but it could also be something so complicated that it feels impossible. And I feel like, at least for myself, I feel like this is where, you know, a lot of my eco anxiety comes from, because it's like, well, what can I actually do? Like, it's everything is so complicated. Like, how can I actually do anything effectual? Because it does feel like, at least for me, sometimes I feel like the project of sustainability is so fundamental that I just, how could we ever get there? And even if I made myself or my life world like a nice little pocket of sustainable whatever to what, of course, sustainable to what, like what impact does that actually have on the larger society? And that might have been just way too many words for you to take anywhere, but please feel free to try.
I'll try to, but sort of like when should we teach it? I don't think there's like no effort is missed in there. Sort of like you could, we of course need to educate the people that we have now in different positions, sort of like adult education or education with your work is definitely important. I do feel that sustainability, even though it is a complex concept, there's still, like I said, there's the philosophical part that I do think that even kids could understand. Like we've taught kids all kinds of weird stuff. They understand what's the mechanics of this society pretty easily, like because it comes through everything. We have this sort of like, there are those rules that you kind of know. You know because you've lived in this society. And I do believe that kids would easily get sustainability as well if it was that deeply implemented into our society. Sort of like I said, the societal intent. And that's also a thing that you can easily, again, being critical, you can see that sort of like you say that, but you do this, and those are two completely different things. How do you operate personally where in a way, the more you know, the more you understand that it is almost nothing possible, but it's a endeavor that needs to, sort of like almost asks kind of everything to be different, but still remain the same in the nice ways, because it is still to sustain something. And I sort of like, sustainability surely isn't it's not a problem. It's not like a problem or an equation that we can just sit here and then sort of like resolve. It's a thing that we need to develop, and like, and sustainability is also like, that's what one thing is, that it's never the same. It's a moving target. We can look at how the environment, the response of the environment, and see that every year we get more detailed numbers and new numbers that sort of like show that we should kind of like VSS our efforts or strategies. And it's the same with society and economy as well, that it is a moving target, and it's not like it's not a fixed goal. And that's why I do think that, sort of, at least in my personal life, and looking at the extent that I have in it, which is one lifetime, I do believe, I just think that it's in making sure that it is an intent in what you also do. I don't think it's sort of like, I always thought of it that there's either the tick box method, I did remember to recycle, I did remember to do this, I did remember to do that, or then it's more of that deep implementation where it does become more or less a part of your value set. And then it goes beyond those sort of like technical deeds, even though those are super necessary as well. And those need to be remembered.
I think that's a huge point that you make there in terms of how sustainability is such an evolving topic and a moving topic. It's something that really does need to be ingrained. Thinking of it as like more of a generational process in its way, or like this ingraining and getting it to be more of a part of society as being a generational sort of force. I guess, like, coming off of this, with that in mind, and you mentioned, like, you know, we could teach kids about it. Maybe you don't know about it since you focus on master's programs, but are they trying to teach kids about this? Do you know?
Yeah, I know that there's some, at least they're trying to teach it in kindergartens even. And in, of course, already in elementary schools, but sort of like, again, I feel that sustainability education, to the extent of my knowledge, what it is heavily environmental, which isn't, again, it's nothing wrong, but it's sort of like, I do feel that this big part of what sustainability is missed if you only look at it as environmental protection. It's for sure, it's something that we need. And that's something that I've always, ever since I started my master's with sustainability and sort of like going through this, that we have these three dimensions and this the hierarchy and what, how do you place human? And what, I remember looking at these sort of like schematic figures of planet that has economy and society within it. And I always thought that, like, which is the largest sphere? And I to me, and I'm not saying that this is how it should be, but to me, it's always been that it's something of I believe that the social and cultural aspect of sustainability is more or less the top, in the sense that it is to our human understanding what we need to do and to more or less sustain human. Like, we, of course, we give intrinsic value to nature, but we should give intrinsic value to human as well. We're like, you hear these, like someone say that, well, the planet will be here even if we're gone. But then, like, if we give that value to the planet, we should understand that we're part of this planet. And sort of like, I do think that, to me at least, sustainability has always been more interesting looking at it as a societal, as a philosophical, as a question of value. And I do feel that the environmental and the economic will in a way follow, or I trust that it will follow if sustainability would become such a part of that culture and society. And yeah, that's again a very long answer to, yes, they're doing something at kindergartens and at all levels of education, but to my understanding or to my knowledge, it's very much on the side of environmental protection. And that's sort of like, that's easily what sustainability is when you get to talk about it, or even when you ask people to think of the practical outcomes of it. And I feel that, of course, there's, like, you can say that in the environmental aspect of it is environmental protection. That's something that we've always had. It's not a thing that we invented as we came up with the concept of sustainability. And there's social sides of it, like equity or equality and sort of like human rights and all these kind of things, or global politics. And there's cultural sides of it, sustaining different cultures and having the actual culture of sustainability. Education is part of cultural sustainability. Then there's the economics of it. It's not just to think that we get to sustain the economic processes that we now have I always thought of it that we should have an economy that produces some more or less equal well-being. And sort of like these kind of things are, they're there, but they have been hard to talk about. They easily politicized all of it except the environment. We kind of like, it's easier to settle that nature is something that we should protect and we should keep an eye on what it's doing, because it's more or less threatening us and our existence, as well as we're threatening its existence. But sort of like going beyond that, it gets tricky and it gets sometimes uncomfortable. And I understand that that's also probably, it could be a thing why we're not teaching it basically in any level of education, because then it means that someone should be brave enough on a societal or the national level to say that, yes, as part of our strategy, it should be more equal. And that could be a hard bit for some people.
Yeah, I agree with you there on that one. The very wise Jason Moore recently mentioned to me, and I'm sure he said this in his writings too, but he said that it's easier to imagine the end of the planet than the end of capitalism. So, you know, it's like, it's easier to focus on the environmental aspect of these things than to really get into that contentious territory that actually could threaten the powers that are kind of at play, if you will. And this kind of circles back to one of the things that I brought up in my earlier longish musing, which is like sustainability to what? Like, what are we trying to sustain to? Because I certainly don't think that like these kind of the way we've developed under this westernized colonial capital accumulation, like this isn't what we want to sustain, is it? Or I mean, what does sustainability actually look like? And I think that you started to kind of get into that with thinking about, you know, the equality and well-being as an intrinsic part of kind of this sustainable vision. But it's like, when we talk about sustainability, like I said, such a base question, but what are we trying to be sustainable to? What are we aiming at?
Yeah, life. I don't know. That's also, that's probably something that is, it's different to different people. But I do, but at base level, it's sustaining, yeah, human well-being and I guess that's, of course, that's where it gets problematic, because what kind of well-being do we count as well-being? What do we need? What are the basic requirements to have well-being? And I do think that's something that we've also grown to think differently. Elizabeth Chobb has a good book on this, Comfort, Cleanliness, and Convenience. She's basically saying that our experience of what is good life has grown unsustainable. Our material well-being has developed to this extent. I guess to some, anything that threatens that is already a debate or a compromise that people aren't willing to make. And that's why I completely agree with Jason Moore that, yeah, it's easier to see the end of the world or imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. But sort of, to me, the super important or interesting part of sustainability is specifically in the transition to it. And not sustainability in a way that like sustainability necessarily as we could ever conceptualize it, that's the goal where we need to transition to. That's not as important, but just that for me to see that there is human ability to be better, I think that's as simple as that. And that's something that Aristotle, that's something that Polanyi, that's something that Marx has sort of like asked for, is to say that it's in the betterment of that human quality in a way. And that's sort of like, that's also probably why I am that easily disappointed of me looking outwards and seeing that are we actually doing anything towards sustainability, is that I do feel that we've missed the opportunity once again. We've once again like figured out another concept that here's a set of dimensions that we could work with and kind of like think that this will make it better. But as we are trying to make it better, we know that we have to become better. It's almost like a learning exercise for us as well as humanity. And I don't think we've like, that's a homework that we haven't done really. But I do think that, yeah, ultimately it is in sustaining well-being, sustaining humans, sustaining development, sustaining meaningful life. And of course, that's a thing that we do know that ultimately, like at the very end of this time scale that we kind of want to think about it, we know that nothing will sustain. This planet will ultimately die and we have to become interplanetary species. And sort of like we individually will die, our kids will die, which is a hell of a sad thing to think about, but sort of like it shouldn't still mean that as we go towards our sure death, we should try to like be better. And I think that's, again, going back to that task of what we are trying to, but I can't speak like, I don't know what other people think of what sustainability is trying to achieve. This is what I think that it could achieve and or should achieve. And this is the measurement that I take. And it's probably because it's the hardest one. That's why it's super interesting. But it's also an age old, like I said, Aristotle, I'm pretty sure I'm not the best sort of like translator of what he meant with his texts. But what I've read, I do believe that he was asking for the same kind of human exercise.
Well, absolutely that. Like it's such an interesting thing. And I completely understand what you mean. It is such a tough thing. And I think it's with sustainability. It's with the world as it is. It goes down to politics. I would go as far as say it's a general human failing that we avoid tough introspection as a species. You know, it's the whole thing of like nobody wants to hear a politician that says, well, you know what, it's a complicated question and it's going to take a lot of individual deep down searching and we're all going to have to do our part and really inspect our lives and I can't just fix this on my own. No, they want to hear the politician that says, I know all the answers. I can fix it. You just go back to your normal life. It's going to be fine. Trust me, which of course never works. But you see this going over and over and over again. And like, you know, it's understandable too, because like, yeah, it is scary to look into yourself and confront one's own failings. But also I think it is important though. Like I love this point. You like bring up the idea of learning to be better. And I guess we can always have hope in that. Of course, I would also say instead of like, you know, maybe instead of having to leave the planet one day, maybe we will evolve into some sort of other beings. You know, we won't stay humans forever. Maybe we'll be able to, whatever those beings will evolve into, will be better at this stuff than we are. But to kind of bring it around a bit though, and perhaps bring cynically in the question of sustainability and often this question of what is sustainable. And of course, I'm asking this as sort of a straw man question, but you know, so much, especially like with the way politics are in the world and in the Western world, especially, or I mean, not just the Western world, this idea of sustainability around like, you know, you got the Green New Deal in the US, you got the European Green Deal, you've got China pushing their, like, you know, we are an environmental society building tons of solar panels and you know, windmills and all kinds of things like that. And usually the criticism against these things comes from the right wing of like, climate change is nonsense, why should we do any of this? So looking at things from this like common center left put forward perspective of, you know, green technology, etc. What's wrong with that type of sustainability? Or is that okay? Like, you know, you think that that's always presented as the good thing. That's what's going to save us all, right? You know, we can go forward and we can still have we're going to have our cars, but we're going to have our electric cars. We're going to have our meats, but we're going to, you know, it's going to be just as cheap, but better treated or grown in a lab, perhaps, so that there's no cruelty. Isn't the world going to be wonderful with all these techno fixes?
I mean, it could be. Who am I to say? I don't have a crystal ball. But the thing is that I just spoke about this with the friend who I believe that at heart is actually a technocrat and thinks that like things will be resolved with technology, as like it'll happen soon. But the thing is that I feel that, like I said, I've been in the field of sustainability and thinking about it since 2010 daily, or as my profession, and sort of like I still hear that those technologies that are promised to me today to be almost there were almost there 10 years ago. So I do feel that if they might come, but they also might not come, and we might run out of time while we're waiting for those to come. So sort of like there are things that we can do in the meanwhile. And also that's a thing that those are completely fine. We need those things regardless. We'll need green energy. We'll need to stop burning stuff and stop like putting more, yeah, you know, gases into this small house that we call Earth. But again, I feel that we're somewhat missing the real point, which is that even with all that technology, we'll just remain the boring, stupid human that we always were. And yeah, to me, it would fit the narrative of how species develop on this planet. You develop and then you die. And ultimately, it's the evolution who gets to be wiser than us. And it'll show us what we actually achieved. And I remember once thinking about it, that like, yeah, dinosaurs were nice. Like if I'm a dinosaur, that's cool as well. Like future kids will have toys made to look like me. That's kind of funny. But I also, again, hope that we could learn to be better. We could become better. And that's also not wasted, even if we had all that technology.
With that, I think that one of the important like things to bear in mind, and of course this for me even has come a lot with getting involved with the Exalt Initiative and like learning more about kind of these, you know, false promises of the green everything, is that like, does any of it, to get to the point where we have that, like it's all made of matter. Like it's all matter, and it's all matter that's coming out of the earth. So it's like, you know, okay, yeah, maybe the actual energy that's produced by a windmill is, quote, more sustainable than burning a piece of coal. But then how was the steel for the windmill smelted? And, you know, what infrastructure needed to be laid on the earth to put that windmill where it is? And, you know, what kind of externalities need to be taken into account to actually make a true accounting of whether or not these, quote, sustainable interventions are in fact actually sustainable. And then once again, oh my God, this is like my refrain of the hour, but sustainable to what? Like, do we want to be back in the 1950s? No. You know, pollution was rampant then. Do we want to be back at the turn of the century? Do we want to be before like the rise of technology? I mean, maybe I don't, but I kind of do, but I kind of don't. Oh God, it just like, I feel like it gets kind of into, you know, it's like the unanswerable question. But yeah, I definitely think that you made a good point that, you know, sustainability, like in philosophy and in practice, it has this tendency to lose its teeth.
Yeah, that's part of it. And that's also, now I started to think of what I wanted to actually say earlier, is that sort of like, I don't think there is, of course, there's no silver bullet to this. There's not like one thing. When you think of energy, I don't think there's going to be that now this is the thing and this will solve everything. Like we might have it somewhere down the road, but sort of like as we get there, we need to make a bunch of compromises. So it is again that sort of like, it's not one thing, it's multiple things, it's multiple things in different fronts, it's multiple things at different times that needs to carry us through. I myself, like, I used to think that nuclear power is the worst thing ever, and now I find myself questioning that, is it? Because like, it is still, it's not, at least it's not producing any CO2, which is in a way the worst thing that we probably can do at this moment, is to add CO2 in the atmosphere. But that's sort of like, these are just the things that you have to, I think that sustainability at a point, because it was like driving itself into a corner, which can easily happen, I think, to an ideology, is to say that like, we're now in this corner and we can never debate anything outside that corner. And that's something that sustainability itself had to develop out, is to say that we also have to be more reasonable. And sort of like, that's one aspect I think that is important. And then another part of sort of like us reconceptualizing or rehashing that what is the problem with sustainability, or sort of like, if sustainability is the answer, then what is the problem? And I do feel that sort of like a big part of that conversation is that we're trying to negotiate sustainability to be something that we already have an answer to. Because that would just be so sweet and easy that we could just say that the problem of sustainability is meat consumption, and that's all we have to fix. And then we come up with incredible meat, and then everything's fixed. But I don't think, like, again, that's why I do think that sustainability is a moving target. And we can now say that what's the problem, but like, after we solve that problem, I'm pretty sure that we'll face another problem. That seems to be at least part of, if not human nature, then the nature of existence, is that sort of like everything is deteriorating, everything is dying, and we're trying to grasp it with everything that we have and keep hold of it. And that's sort of like, I feel that's another problem within the whole meta of sustainability that goes through education, through politics, through everything of sustainability, is that the more we're kind of trying to conceptualize it, which of course we have to do, because we have to have some practical solutions or practical suggestions that what could be the solutions. We have to tie it down to some problems, but as we do it, I'm sure that we're also missing some problems, and we can't make it a fixed image. And I know that this is part of that. That's part of the critical conversation when it comes to sustainability education. Is that, for example, we're talking of skills for future generations. Who are we to say with what knowledge? We're just all guessing, which is fine. That's what we have to do. We have to teach people something about sustainability so we could do something. But that's sort of like, that's the best that we're, in a way, again, being super critical, that's the best that we're doing. Everyone's trying to do something. But sort of like, issue of, or the problem of trying to make it a certain form of a whole that we just happen to have a block, and then we just like put it there and it's done and dusted, and let's move on to have more fun.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for that. Unfortunately, we have been going for a while here, and we know that everyone's got to get going on with their afternoons. I mean, because we keep going off on these big, systemic, and deeply philosophical, almost religious questions of sustainability and interactions with the world. But the time has come for a question.
Question.
The question.
We ask questions here.
It is question time.
So at the end of every episode, we like to ask our guests the question, which is effectively a call to action. For the people listening at home, they hear this, they want to do something, they want to find out something, they want to change something in their lives based on this conversation. So what could you recommend that our listeners could do?
In a way, sort of like, to me, it seems that it should be easy enough to start being more critical. Like, being absolutely critical is something that I think it's a skill, and sort of like this reflective, critical way of looking at at things. That, let's take an example of, the narration. If there is a societal narration, look at like any piece of news and try to look at it by, well, not any piece of news, that's too broad of a generalization, but sort of like look at news and try to be critical of what do they think that we do as humans? Why do we do what we do? Do we like, what's the intent? What's the goal of what we are doing? And that's sort of like, it's a hard question, so maybe that's not the easiest, but that's a question that I believe that could be a key to looking at things more critical. It's sort of like saying that think differently, but then there's always a question of how differently. Like there's no end to it. And I also think that like look at things critically, then what things and how critically, there's no end to it. But to start somewhere, I think that looking at the societal narration in a way that you're trying to understand that what is the goal of it, what's the intent of it. That could be one starting point.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that really good reflection. And I think that is, you know, a kernel of something that people could grab onto and have a bit more critical eye on the vast amount of information that we're taking in. So if our listeners are interested to learn a little bit more about you and what you do, is there anywhere that they could find you or anything that you'd like us to link down in the show notes?
Yeah, if that's of people's interest, then I'm easy to find. If you just like, you Google me, you'll find me. And we also, published a kids book on sustainability, but that's in Finnish. So that's sort of like, that's for a very restricted audience. But that's something that might interest some of the listeners. And instead of like reading, but because like I always say that my writings come with the disclaimer of if you're specifically interested in what I think, then read that. But if you're interested in some actual truth or some smarter people, then there's other people that you could read. For example, is it Bruno Latour's We've Never Been Modern? That's an interesting writing on this and could be a, if you lack a framework of how to be critical in observing the societal narration, then this idea of we've never been modern, meaning that we've never been able to distinct power and truth, and then looking at different policies, for example, and thinking of that, how was that policy made? What could you critically think or kind of like imagine that were the driving forces? Did we make it based on our best understanding of all the things that are in play, or is it simply made because someone had the power to make that decision?
Absolutely, and thank you so much for that. Thank you for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure, and hope to have you on again sometime in the future.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, thanks for the talk.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much to Jane Salavara again for coming on and having such a great conversation and sharing so many different interesting nuances and different ways of looking at the concept and education of sustainability. Please join us for another great conversation next month. From the dark, icy sidewalks of Helsinki, Finland, I am Christopher Chagnon. On behalf of Sofia Hagelani-Albov, stay warm, stay safe, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.